My name's Richard Downey. I'm Deputy Director of the Africa Program here at Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, where the CSIS Africa Program has just completed a major project looking at the risk to stability in 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, looking ahead in the next 10 years. Now, I'm pleased to be joined by the author of our report on Angola, Alex Vines. Alex is Research Director for Regional and Security Studies and Head of the Africa Program at Chatham House in London. He's co-author of the Angola Report. Alex, thanks for being with us. First of all, I suppose we should just put things in context and consider that it's still less than a decade since Angola's civil war came to an end. Angola's really come a long way in a short space of time, would you agree?
Yeah, Angola's civil war was a vicious one, and it ended 9 years ago. It'll be a decade next year. And since then, it really has boomed, mostly because of oil. It's one of the largest oil producers in Africa.
Still, the subject of these reports was looking at vulnerabilities, potential causes of instability. And you lay some of these out in your report. The one I guess people will tend to point out, and you've alluded to it already, is Angola's heavy dependence on oil exports. Is that situation likely to change in the coming decade or cause instability?
No, the report highlights how Angola's commodity-based economy is tied to global oil and diamond prices, and so it's highly vulnerable to shocks. So volatility, be it in oil or diamonds in particular, have a significant impact on the Angolan government and its ability both to diversify its economy, but also in terms of post-conflict reconstruction.
The government's fully aware of this problem, of course, and is trying to do its best to diversify the economy. Has it had much success in doing that so far?
It's tried to. It talks the talk, but can it really walk the walk? This is a real problem for the Angolan government. The economy does still very much rely on oil. And in the global economic downturn, when oil prices went down, the Angolan government basically defaulted. It had to freeze payments to a lot of foreign companies, including some in the United States. Now that there's been a rebound in oil prices, it's been able to start paying again. But this just shows how dependent the Angolan government is on oil and the price of oil.
Now, by African standards, Angola is a relatively urbanized country. Its towns and cities are growing incredibly rapidly. One of the points that comes across strongly in your report is that, you know, managing the expectations and demands of this urban population for public services, for jobs and economic opportunities is going to be a rising challenge going forward. Could you talk a little bit about that, and perhaps, are we likely to see the potential for social protests in Angola?
Yeah, one of the legacies of decades of conflict was rapid urbanization, many people fleeing to urban areas, partly for goods and services, but also for security. Many of those have decided to stay, not interested in going back onto the land. And also there is a large youth bulge in Angola, like many countries in Africa. These young people are often poorly educated, frustrated with limited life prospects, and are increasingly restive. They are likely to be a source of tension in the future. Indeed, there's already signs of tension in some of the peri-urban areas.
Now, looking at the political scene and talking about that for a moment, from the outsider's perspective, it looks fairly stable, frozen even, with the ruling party, the MPLA, unchallenged as a very dominant force. Is that situation likely to remain the case in the next 10 years, do you think?
Well, Angola has one of the longest-serving presidents in sub-Saharan Africa, Mr. José Eduardo dos Santos. He was elected president in 1979, so he even predates a president like the president of Zimbabwe, Mr. Robert Mugabe, who was in 1980. In fact, only Mr. Obiang, the president of Equatorial Guinea, beats Mr. Dos Santos, and that's just by a month. One of the key known unknowns, in a sense, is the succession to Mr. Dos Santos. He's been in power for so long. yet there isn't a clear succession process. And this will become even more evident next year when there'll be, in 2012, legislative elections in Angola, which will also decide who the next president will be, which is likely to be Mr. Dos Santos. But looking out for the next decade, it's difficult to imagine Mr. Dos Santos remaining in power for the full decade. And that's the paradox, I think, that the greatest sense of uncertainty at the moment is the lack of clear succession and the vagueness of what can happen.
Right. The formal opposition parties, UNITA and others, appear at the moment to be fairly weak. Is there any prospect for them to sort of strengthen and really sort of gain public support, or is the most likely source of opposition to the government, to the MPLA, likely to come from the streets, do you think?
The opposition parties in Angola are weak and fractured. There are some that have regional bases. There's the one in the Lunda provinces that has some support. The former rebel movement, UNITA, is much weakened and doesn't oppose any real challenge to the dominant MPLA. I think change will come through splits within the MPLA itself. And some of that may happen through pressure from the peri-urban areas, from youth. The MPLA realizes that change is inevitable. Its ambition, though, is to maintain control on change and have change under its own terms. Mm. I've seen MPLA documents that predict the MPLA will be in power in 30 years' time. In fact, a roadmap on how to maintain the dominance of the party over the next 30 years, which is very ambitious. But that is an indicator, I think, of the sort of mentality that the MPLA has.
Right, right. So finally, just in closing, it'd be interesting to get your overall assessment, looking forward, gazing into that crystal ball. Do you think Angola overall is headed in a positive direction in the coming 10 years, or is it going to struggle to overcome some of these economic, structural, and political challenges?
Angola has come out of a vicious civil war that ended less than a decade ago. So it has some positive legacies from that. There isn't an appetite for conflict in Angola. In this way, it reminds me a bit of what's been happening in Algeria compared with other countries that have been more dramatically impacted by the Arab Spring. I think the main challenge in the next decade will be how the transition from Mr. Dos Santos is managed. He has, as I've said, been in charge of Angola as president for 31 years, and it's unlikely, I think, that we'll see another decade of him in power. And so the challenge will be for the Angolans themselves to manage this transition and also to modernize the MPLA so that it can accommodate the new environment that globalization is providing and the rising expectations of a frustrated, growing urban population that sees service delivery of health, education, these things being too slow.
Alex, thanks very much for your time, and we only had a chance to have a brief overview, but you can read the whole report, Angola, Assessing Risks to Stability, by going to our website, that's at csis.org/program/Africa-program. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.